Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 1, day 3 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 1, 5 through 6. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all the freewill offerings. This is so reminiscent of the Exodus from Egypt. God told Moses, he said, tell all the children of Israel, after the Passover, after this moment when all of the firstborn males of Egypt have died, make sure that you ask your slave masters for stuff. Ask them for things. Not only am I going to send the angel of death to kill all their firstborn male children, but in the midst of their mourning and grieving, I want you to ask them for their stuff, their silver and gold and bowls and whatever else. And in this crazy moment, the children of Israel, as they're leaving Egypt, they actually do it. And the people who have been angry at them, who've hated them, who've resented them for all of the plagues that have been happening in Egypt, for this moment in time, it's like the Lord supernaturally caused them to lose their minds. And they're like, oh, we love you guys. Yes, yes, have stuff. Have my gold and silver. And they just enriched, greatly enriched the Israelites. When we read about what happened during the Exodus Exodus, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the money that they give to build the tabernacle and all of the things, they were wealthy when they left Egypt. And in the same way, the Lord is providing for his people again as they're leaving this captivity and going back home. All of these people, Cyrus commands the people of Persia and Babylon, give them stuff. And so they're giving them all this gold and silver and goods and food and all these things, in addition to what they want to give to the Jewish people, to these people from these three tribes of Israel. Like, they're happy to give them things and bless them on their way. It's not even, you know, we're so excited for you to leave Babylon and leave Persia. We're going to give you stuff so that you get out quickly. That's not what's going on. There's freewill offerings being made by these people in addition to what Cyrus commanded them to give. This is an amazing moment. Now, going back to the first part of this, it's the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi. And so very often people will refer to the southern kingdom of Judah, the southern tribes of Judah, and they'll refer to the northern tribes or the lost tribes. Sometimes they'll say 10 tribes. And with so many things in life, things are a little complicated. The northern tribes, depending on how you count them, is either 9 or 10 tribes. And depending on how you count the southern tribes here, Judah and Benjamin, it's 2 to 3 tribes. There's almost no place in Scripture where the tribes, or the 12 tribes of Israel, are counted the exact same way. It's a very strange, odd thing, and the way that Scripture throughout different books and time periods plays with that number 12 is very strange, and it's hard to fully wrap your mind around sometimes. But in our context here, the southern tribes were the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And even though we think of the southern tribe as really the only the tribe of Judah, really it was Judah, Benjamin, and the tribe of Levi. And because we know that the priests and the Levites, the temple workers, they all came from the tribe of Levi. They mostly resided in Jerusalem. That's where their their duties were in Jerusalem. There were Levites who lived all over the northern and southern tribes. But by this point, before the exile, most of the Levites who still retained their position in the temple and all that, they lived in the southern kingdom because the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom had been in war for so long. And the northern tribes of Israel had come up with their own deities and their own worship and all of this kind of stuff, so that the southern tribes, they kind of absorbed all of the Levites, even though they were supposed to be spread out all throughout the kingdom. And so you've got the Levites who the priests are a subset of Levi, of the tribe of Levi, and you got the tribe of Benjamin. And the reason that you have the tribe of Benjamin is because when David chose Jerusalem as his capital, there was 7 years of civil war between David and the house of Saul, the kingdom of Saul. And so there was, even before David, there was like this divided kingdom. And the kingdom was, David was from the tribe of Judah, and Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And so when David reunified the kingdom of Israel into one kingdom, because it was the 11 tribes versus the tribe of Judah for 7 years, David reunifies that, and he strategically chooses a new capital. He had been in the city of Hebron, which is in Judah, and he specifically chose the town of Jebus, which was a town that was the people, the Jebusites were who they were. They were a foreign nation of people, foreign people. They had never been displaced from the city of Jebus, and it was a very fortified walled city, and it was within the confines of the tribe of Benjamin. David chose that very specifically to say, hey, I want to be king over all Israel, and so I'm going to choose a town. It's basically right on the border between Judah and Benjamin. It was on the southern border of Benjamin, but it was in the tribe of Benjamin. David chooses that city and renames it Jerusalem to be his capital to reunify the nation. And so, because it's in the tribe of Benjamin, when they get carried off, the tribes that had stayed faithful to the southern kingdom were Benjamin and Judah. Now, because it was that southern kingdom, and because David's clan, David's descendants were on the throne in Jerusalem, and he was from the tribe of Judah, we always, even the Bible almost always refers to the southern kingdom as the kingdom of Judah. That's what it became known as. And incidentally, the word Jew that we use to refer to the people of Israel now come from the term Judah. Throughout Europe, I mean, this is, the word Jew is just a short version slang of Juden, someone from the tribe of Judah or Judah. That's where we get that word from. And so we refer to all Jews, all people of Israel as Jews now, but we're specifically speaking about the people from these southern tribes when we say Jew. And so that's a bit of a background behind what's going on here. But this is an amazing moment. I just can't stress enough how amazing this moment is. Imagine the king saying, hey, these people, and we know that through a couple of different points that the stories we read about in Esther and in Daniel, a little bit in Ezekiel, we know that the Jews weren't necessarily well-liked, and they weren't necessarily just absolutely hated, but we do know that there was a whole lot of anti-Semitism going on in Babylon and Persia. And so you've got a people that probably not like when they were in Egypt, where they're slaves and the people, you know, beat them and look down on them. Maybe not that much, but there was a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment throughout the kingdom. Not the primary thing, but they weren't well liked, is what I'm saying. They weren't beloved by all of the people of Babylon and Judah. And when it's time for them to go, the king says, give them your stuff. And they actually obey the king, maybe out of fear. But in addition to that, Ezra ends this by saying that they gave all of that money, all of this stuff, in addition to their free will offerings. Something happens. There's this supernatural switch that gets flipped by God. And all of a sudden, all of these people decide that they love the people of Israel. They love this Jewish people, and they're going to give them things over and above what Cyrus commanded because they want to bless them. How amazing. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that takes care of us, as the one who can put us in the midst of a hostile environment and still bless us all the same. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's word. Thank you.